Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Travis, I want to know what you think of the developments when it comes to Elimination Chamber. I have one outrage that I'll get to. But overall, a lot of moving parts and different developments in terms of decisions on matches this week and also announcements for next week.
Yeah, I've liked how they set the show up now, and I've liked with the Elimination Chamber gimmick, I like how they're getting there. I like having matches surrounding a match like that. You got six people in the match, and now you have two of them with the women's Elimination Chamber match. Have matches around it, the last chance, final get in match, or in the main event of this one, where, you know, who gets the sixth spot. Like, those are really good ways to fill TV time and make the upcoming event important and make that match worth fighting for.
That is my outrage of the week, though, is why do the first three winners from last week exclusively get the chance to be the last one to be released from their pod?
Yeah. I thought that was a bit unfair when it was announced. I was like, wait, aren't we having the last three matches to determine the other three tonight? Wouldn't that be, hey, next week, the go-home show, a big six-man, you know, no rules, you know, kind of free-for-all. Whoever comes out of that gets the last spot. Maybe not the go-home show, but the week before. I thought that was a little odd, but what I found odder or a lot stranger was John Cena and Braun Strowman. But I don't remember Braun and Cena doing a ton. And I thought, they aren't treating this like a big enough deal.
Putting this match on with that kind of star power, with Elias going over even in a bit of a fluke, is a continued indication of how serious they are about getting Elias into that top-tier mix. Even if it's on the fringe of the top tier, he is playing with the big boys right now. He is in the mix and getting tainted wins, but wins. Where are you, Travis, on Elias's push?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Elias fan. I think he's fine. I think he's done a lot better for himself on the main roster than I ever would have imagined he could, and he's somehow getting over with the fans. And the fans are weird. Like, why would you cheer Elias? It gives you nothing.
Coach said they're confused.
And his push is fine. I mean, it's done. I don't think he's shoved down their throats. Or, I mean, it's a good push. I hoped he'd win tonight. I thought after the attitude adjustment onto the base of the stairs, onto Strowman, and then the attack behind Cena, I thought maybe that was it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. This will be a great way to get him, you know, a sneaky win. But they came back to that similar thing 3 or 5 minutes later with the finish. I think he's going to beat John Cena at WrestleMania. When Joe went down, I said, okay, Elias is getting that match, because I thought it was going to be Joe Cena at WrestleMania. And when Joe got hurt and Elias cut a promo on Cena saying, hey, I remember what you did to me on Christmas Day. You know, it was a lyric in one of his songs. I was convinced, like, okay, they're wrestling at WrestleMania. And now I'm convinced Elias is going to beat John Cena at WrestleMania.
Interesting. Yeah. I would not rule that out. As weird as that would have sounded, you know, 2-3 months ago. Anyway, we have a lot more to talk about. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, and we are available at wadekellerpostshow.com. You can live stream after Raw and SmackDown most weeks. We started that new format last week, or the return to the old format last week. We moved to Podcast One in the middle of last summer, lost our access to the Switchboard. We now have Switchboard back. It's on a separate feed. To subscribe to this show, you've got to search Wade Keller, and you'll see our blue Podcast One logo. Right next to that, you'll see our new red logo. It's the same logo, otherwise it's a different color. It's our own brand split. Be sure to subscribe to both. Later this week on the blue brand, the Thursday flagship will feature Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Send your questions in now. Wade Keller Podcast at PWTorch.com if you've got questions on the larger wrestling scene. And then Interview Friday will feature part one of my new interview with Nick Aldis. I interviewed him earlier today, in fact, and it's a really compelling conversation. It's good stuff. You will absolutely want to hear this. A lot of NWA talk, but a lot of talk about the direction of distribution of wrestling and how the landscape there is changing. And also discussion about social media. And Nick has... He is a polarizing figure, and that's his own words. That was a case in TNA in the locker room. It's one of the reasons he's not in WWE at this point. And he proves that in this podcast. He's got opinions. He states them well. It's a really good interview. I'm going to hype it all week because I want everybody to check it out. It's good stuff. It'll get people talking. We also talk about some of his ex-colleagues in TNA ending up in NXT and the Ronda Rousey situation and her introduction. It'll be a two-parter. It went way longer than I expected, but it's really good stuff. So you have that to look forward to later in the week on the other feed, the Podcast One feed, for which features the Thursday and Friday shows. Tomorrow, SmackDown, after SmackDown ends, I'll be joined by Mike Chiari from Ring Rust Radio, who will join me again to analyze SmackDown, and we'll be taking your calls at 10 Eastern within a minute or two of SmackDown ending, if all goes well. So call us tomorrow also if you're streaming us live today. And if you haven't streamed us live, again, the place to go right after Raw or right after SmackDown is Wade Keller Podcast. Excuse me, WadeKellerPostShow.com. That will take you to our switchboard page or our homepage for the live stream. We do have some callers on hold. We thank you for that. We'll get to you momentarily. If you are listening to us and are interested in calling, the phone number is 347-215-8558. It should say that on the screen that you're logged into also. That's 347-215-8558. If you want to participate in the show, the only way to do that is to push 1 on your touchtone phone after you call in. So if you're interested in us bringing you on the show, push 1. If you want to stand by and enter the conversation as we progress here, we can try to get to your call later. Travis Bryant is my guest. He is the host of the PW Torch East Coast Cast every Wednesday night. Travis, let's have you plug your show right now, and then we'll get to our calls.
Yeah, East Coast Cast audio show and podcast and live show. It's every Wednesday, 6:30 Eastern. We go till about 9:30 or so Eastern. We have a live NXT watch during the show, so there are live reactions to NXT. It is a rough, raw, rowdy show, word to Paul Heyman, and it is not minivan friendly, let's say. So listener discretion is advised for sure, but there is no topics off limits. So if you want to stray from pro wrestling and talk about just life in general or whatever's on your mind, that is always welcome. So yeah, there's tons of ways to find us. We're on Twitter at East Coast Cast. You can find the seven years now of archives at eastcoastcast.com. So yeah, check us out.
And as always, East Coast Cast will be broadcast live from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. and speaking of Austin, I don't want to forget to shout out my my co-hosts, Cameron Hawkins and Rich Fan. Join me every Wednesday along with
hoping you won't get to them.
Oh, so Brian could give me crap on Twitter?
Yes.
Like I'm sitting here like rubbing my hands together like not give my friends credit and – you know, jerk. But yeah, check us out again. It's a real fun show every week. So
search East Coast in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can also find the show at eastcoastcast.com. Correct.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Our phone number again: 347-215-8558. Push 1 if you want to talk to us. Let's go to our first caller. We got a lot more to talk about, Travis. We got all show to do it. We'll be talking to an on-site correspondent from Des Moines, Iowa, which Elias just tore apart in his segment today. I want to talk to you about Elias and find out your position on his guitar strumming routine. Is it senseless trolling, Travis, like Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin think, or is it something more? We will table that for a little bit later. We've got email questions too. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com if you want to add to our mailbag segment, which usually is the last segment of the show. But let's go to our first call. 251 is the area code. 251, you're on the program. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, it's Kenny from Mobile, Alabama.
Kenny, good to talk to you again. How's it going?
It's going all right. I just had two quick questions for you and Travis I want to get your thoughts on. I thought Roman did very well tonight. I enjoyed the opening match. I enjoyed him and Seth teaming up tonight. But I just don't think there's any way WWE is going to get me to cheer him. And my question for you is, if they're going to go ahead and do Lesnar and Reigns, do you guys still think there's a lot of money in that match? It just seems to me that the majority of people I talk to, you know, really want AJ and Shinsuke, you know, as the main event. But do you think that match is still going to be pretty profitable once they get to Mania?
I'm a little nervous about that match, Travis. How about you?
I think it's a big enough match, and with that, and it being WrestleMania and everything around surrounding it, they haven't. Reigns and Lesnar. Was Reigns in that four-way at SummerSlam last year? Maybe you call it those. But it was – I don't think – I think that match is still –
yeah,
I mean,
he actually took the pinfall in the SummerSlam match.
Okay. Okay. So they've been around each other but not focused on each other. I think a solid 6 weeks or whatever it's going to be to build that match after the Elimination Chamber, if Reigns does in fact win it, is more than enough time to get. I mean, I wonder the type of fan that you're talking to that's more excited about Shinsuke and AJ. Like, you're probably talking to fans like me and Wade, who are way more into it than really we probably should be, but more than the casual fan, for sure. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns is still pretty blockbuster.
And there's nothing wrong with having a match you like more than another match. WWE is intentionally trying to serve different types of fans. That's the size of the company that they are. That's a good thing. All they have to do is what they did tonight, turn the volume down on the crowd when Roman comes out, and then go about their business, and then talk about how all that counts, hypocritically, is to talk about all that counts as he gets a reaction. Well, if that's all that counts, why are you muting the crowd when he comes out and gets booed? You know, it's like you can't have it both ways. But I'm encouraged by the fact that at the top of Raw tonight, they had Roman cut this promo looking directly into the camera, stating his mission, and giving fans an idea of what he was going to do. In my report, I put spoiler alert, because he basically laid out what everybody expects is going to happen. Win the Chamber, win at WrestleMania, go on to be the man in WWE. But it's not guaranteed till that happens, and watching it happen is part of the fun. And if you don't like that match, then you know they've got four and a half hours more that you can engage in terms of live wrestling. But I like the babyface Roman Reigns, who's usually protected from standing in the ring and cutting promos. I like that they gave him some mic time, and it's, you know, part of their shakeup of their format, Travis. But I thought him looking at the camera and stating what his journey is and what his mission is a step in the right direction for him. And I thought largely it was successful in terms of his delivery.
Yeah. Look at telling Bray, you don't scare me, or, you know, kind of just laying it all out there. I thought he, and I'm sure when the caller said Roman had a good showing tonight, this was a part of it, because it caught me off guard. I was like, wow, that was cool. Like, the match was right after it. I'm not sure. Like, I guess that works too, but that also could have been the 9 o'clock or the first, you know, the main event of the night or whatever, however you want to go. But it was very well done. And speaking of those promos, it wasn't exactly like the ones that we're getting from everybody else. But I have – yes. I have a bit of a bone to pick with you. I think you're having a bit of an old man moment, Wade. I've listened to you the last two or three weeks since they've started, and it really was with the Rumble hype. They started with the handheld.
Travis, do you want to check your phone right now? Because you might have gotten an alert on social media, and I don't want you to miss out on that.
Listen.
Hey, a couple of years ago, I'm walking around New York City with you, and you're practically walking into traffic and bumping into old ladies because you can't take your eyes off the phone. So you're going to talk to me about how important it is that WWE show how cool and in touch and happening they are by having all their wrestlers do selfie videos.
This is the old man part. This is the old man part, because you go because you act like it's a new trendy thing and not life. That is how we see the world now, Wade.
Because we don't have a professional camera crew who can film us in high definition without
matter.
A shaky background.
The cameras themselves are fine.
No, they're not. It's
nobody's
it's
looking at it like, oh,
yesterday, tonight, did you watch the John Cena one?
So grainy and,
oh, it's awful.
And odd. It's just, it's whatever. Again, but this is how we see the world. Wade, everyone with a phone or tablet or a laptop, this is how we communicate with each other. Everybody's FaceTiming. We're doing that kind of stuff. So it's like new and trend. Like, no, this is just society now. This idea that's like, oh, look at WWE hopping on, that might be the case, and that actually probably is. But it's like, no, that's cool because that's how people see the world. That's how people communicate. So to bring that to WWE TV, are they overdoing it? Yeah, they don't overdo everything, especially when it's a new idea and concept. But the idea of the idea that we're getting promos now, but you're upset that it's the way they're shot. We're getting promos, like six promos a show in a 3-hour Raw. I don't care if the guy's holding the phone or the camera himself, his phone or his HD, or whatever. I don't care. I'm glad we're not just getting some cheesy inset promo on the way, 30-second thing on the way to the match. I'm appreciating the fact that we're getting promos and it's being presented in a contemporary a way that everybody understands. And only Wade Keller's complaining that it looks weird.
I put a poll up. And yeah, we got our laugh track in the background. Thank you, Kenny. We have a I put up a poll on Twitter, and if I remember right, the majority of people thought this was overdone and stupid.
Yeah, I was in the minority. I was like, oh, okay. That's different than it itself. The entire concept. Like, yes, it is overdone. I didn't know that was an option, or I didn't see the poll, but. Yes, that's true. Again, that's what they do. That's kind of in their nature. But once they find their balance, I think, again, it's just another way of doing pro wrestling.
Yes, and the thing is we're largely in agreement. I mean, even though it sounds like we're having this big argument, because you're admitting that they're overdoing it. I'm saying it's a case of them trying a little bit too hard. And it's coming across like the new toy that they had last year when they were doing all the crowd reaction shots. I don't think having Braun Strowman doing selfie videos is helpful to his character. I don't think having John Cena obnoxious. I mean, rewatch that. If you didn't, was hard.
No. Yes,
watch.
But that's any promo. You have to go. Okay, what suits this yes. person? This like, okay, don't do that with Braun Strowman.
He was walking back and forth in it.
What was he doing? That was weird. Yeah, totally. I didn't understand what. I was like, is he going somewhere? No, he's not. He's retreating. Now he's back to go. Yeah, that was odd. But yeah, Braun Strowman. Okay, but I'm sorry, Wade. Then tomorrow we're going to tune in to, well, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually when they have their round two match, we're going to get to see little big or big little, and it'd be so cute together. And so Braun cutting a promo holding his own phone, again, just isn't that big a deal when I can tune in the next night and see him be cutesy with little Alexa Bliss, and he's on one knee, and she's small as him.
If we're gonna limit our criticism to only the top three things that are wrong and that'll make a difference, we're gonna have a short show. I'm with you. There are larger issues than this, but that doesn't change the fact that I think it comes across as if they're trying too hard to connect with the kids today. What's the generation before the millennials? Younger than the millennials now?
X.
No, that was after. That's older.
Why then?
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, it just seems like they're trying a little bit too hard. With Facebook Watch, I got it because, hey, we're accentuating the fact that this is a social media-driven show, and then they couldn't just keep it there. Now, also, by the way, I thought Sheamus and Cesaro sitting in the stands doing a selfie video. If that was the selfie video of the show, I'd be like, well, that's kind of cool. Two guys, they want to send a message to their opponents. They want it to air. They're sitting in the crowd. It's before the show, so it makes sense there aren't cameras around. Like, I just want a sensible context to why they're doing it. John Cena and Braun Strowman are backstage where there's a camera crew with cameras that cost tens of thousands of dollars that for decades have done the job. Call one of those guys over and shoot your frickin' promo instead of trying to prove how cool you are and how hip you are as a company. It's patronizing to the audience. And
I'm just stuck on the whole, like, I don't think it's a cool – it's It's just a thing. It's just another.
They're trying too hard. To quote you, they're trying too hard.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. We're going to go to our first break and come back with more from Kenny and more calls and more commentary. Then we got our on-site correspondent standing by. We got to get to him in a few minutes, and then we'll hit the mailbag. We got a lot of questions on the women's division happenings, all the developments on Raw today. So stay tuned for that. Kenny, thank you for standing by. What's your second question for us, or any follow-up?
Yeah, I might lose signal here, so
okay.
I'll listen to you guys when I get home. But Alexa Bliss and Kurt Angle and that promo that she cut, I thought it was amazing. And I kind of agreed with her. I mean, AJ last year had to defend his championship in the chamber. I understand why Brock's not in the chamber, but, I mean, it seems like she had a point. I just want to get the guy's opinion on that.
All right. All right, thanks, Kenny.
I
go ahead, Travis.
I love the show, and I'll continue listening.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Kenny. Yeah.
I think the very obvious point that was not – that was sort of made. Kurt said AJ defended or Brock defended his title at the Rumble. You haven't defended since October, which I thought, no way that's true. But I'm not counting. How about, hey, Alexa, you had a front row seat during the Royal Rumble while, like he said, Brock defended his title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so did you hear Brock complaining, why does Alexa Bliss get to sit ringside and watch all the other women wrestle? And, like, it was so, I thought, obvious. And the fact that they ignored that was, I guess they didn't want to just completely shut her argument down, which I thought was just dumb. But at least he called her out on, you know, she's obviously trying to weasel out and you know, use such a topic of, like, nobody wants, you know, it's like, oh, okay, most people, you know, ready to give in. But they did it in a way where it didn't make her seem, you know, she's a scumbag for trying to do that, but, you know, she's a heel and she should. But I thought Kurt got out of it in a way that was sort of with some finesse.
It was one of those moments, too, Travis, where I thought something happened this week that irritated Vince McMahon, either in the world or in his life. And
maybe the Terry podcast thing. We were misused, and, you know, some things happened back in the day. And,
yeah.
You know, things were said and done, but yeah. I'm not going to say who did it or what was done. It's okay. I mean, whatever. That's her right and prerogative. Or maybe somebody just bubble popped and was like, hey, all this stuff has been happening and breaking in the world with, you know, Me Too and the Time's Up and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, hey, let's get in on the – in this really ass backwards – I guess this is really – I don't want them tackling that in any kind of serious way. I don't trust them to handle it. But they probably just maybe saw a news report or somebody was watching, you know, Rachel Maddow. I don't know.
All right.
Probably not.
We got more people who have joined the show in progress. If you are not aware and you want to join the show, you have to push 1 on your Touchstone phone to be eligible to be brought onto the show. So if there's topics you want to sound off on or questions you want to ask us or you want to respond to the selfie video debate or anything else, push 1 on your Touchstone phone. Let's go to our next caller, 985. You're on the air. Please state your name and the city you're calling.
Hey, Wade, it's Cody from Baton Rouge. How you doing?
Doing good, Cody. Thanks for calling. What have you got for Travis and me?
Well, I just wanted to touch on stuff that y'all kind of already mentioned. You know, just since y'all just talked about the Kurt Angle and Alexa Bliss segment, I kind of thought it could have been better. I wasn't particularly fond of how, you know, Kurt Angle looked in that segment. It looked like he was stumbling and backpedaling a little bit. But my thought on this was, you know, do you guys think that it was decent the way they booked that promo, or do you think it would have been better, for example, maybe say like Kurt would play on Alexa's ego by maybe like telling her that she's, you know, that, you know, she has, you know, since being that she has a huge chip on her shoulder, you'd think that she'd want to prove herself, you know, week after week and night after night, you know, when called upon.
I think that's a good point, Cody. I think Kurt Angle could. I would like Kurt Angle to seem clever sometimes, Travis. Not the guy who can't remember the words Elimination Chamber and has to get, you know, the crowds yelling Elimination Chamber. And he's like, oh yeah, Elimination Chamber. he's always kind of the dopey guy who's a step behind. And I like Cody's idea to go, you know, well, Alexa, you're so important, you know, that we want the first ever women's elimination chamber. We just felt like it would be wrong to exclude you. Charlotte, as champion, is regretful that she couldn't be in the Royal Rumble. I just thought, you know, with how confident you are in your abilities and how much you like making history, that you'd want to be in that match. I'm really actually surprised. Like, you can get Alexa to back down a little bit, have Angle as a babyface GM, not be the buffoon dad from the sitcom all the time.
Yeah, that was another thing I thought of. Like, dude, play on her ego. With just say Charlotte's name, and again, another shut down her argument moment. Go, do you think Charlotte's doesn't want to be on? Is going to weasel her way out of the SmackDown pay-per-view coming up in March? You think she's going to try to weasel her way out of a match until WrestleMania? I could try to make a I don't know, but yes, I'd like him to be. I don't think he can. I don't know if he's capable. If he can't, you know, remember elimination.
He's always
chamber.
Liked to have his promos scripted, and he likes to memorize them. He doesn't want to think on his feet out there, and that's fine. He's been brilliant over the years. Now he's not brilliant at remembering his lines and pronouncing names right and all that. He's just not as immersed in the product. And there's age and a lot of bumps to the head and all that. But even that said, I think he could have recited those lines that we're talking about, or in the future recite some lines where you kind of have a feeling he's ahead of the game a little bit sometimes and not always playing catch up and being made out to be the fool. I think he deserves it, frankly. I think he deserves writing that makes him seem more with it and stronger. So
yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, we've seen him as a cunning, you know, heel and things like that. So why as an authority figure wouldn't they play that up? Is it that they don't want the McMahons themselves, they don't want another tough you know, authority figure type. So
I do think he's absolutely. I think you're onto that. I think he's written that way because the idea is to have bumbling GMs, and the McMahons are the ones who have their act together. So,
yeah.
Cody, anything else for us?
Yeah, I also want to go back to the opening segment today. I actually really enjoyed it, I'm usually one to, you know, bash Roman Reigns at every turn, but I got to say, like, since he came back from his illness, I thought the way that he was presented, that he's being presented on TV, was actually very decent. And it's and especially his promo tonight, I thought his promo was really good. It sounded like someone that I could really get behind, and just as a fan, I think his moveset still needs a little work. But I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, you know, on having the match itself open up the show, because usually, Raw being so used to opening with a long form promo, I thought it was really refreshing, even though we still got like short, like 30-second promos from, you know, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. I thought it was really refreshing to actually, you know, kick off the night with a match. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it's not that they never do that, Travis, but it is not. It's not most often. I don't know the stats.
It's noticeable when someone, you know, when they do. So, you know, a guy's going to call in and go, "Hey, did you see that?" The one thing that struck me in this match was, I think I'm starting to be tired of seeing Roman Reigns wrestle. Like, it reminded me with when he said his moveset, and it's like, you know what? That's sure, but we've kind of, you know, wrestling fans, it was one of those overstated things when, you know, a few years ago, unfortunately, when you go, "Hey, I counted his moves and he did that," it was hilarious. Like, oh, punch, punch, kick, clothesline, 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 super clothesline. It was like, just like, wow, like Ryback is really outworking this guy, technical move sense. But I think I'm sick of seeing him wrestle, and I think NXT being so, I don't say so good, I don't know, but they're really good right now, and they're got a lot of good things going. And I think I'm getting not spoiled, but I'm yearning for that format on a bigger scale, where you don't see everybody all the time.
Well, I totally agree. And I mean, if they can get Raw back down to two,
I never really, but it's really starting to affect. Like, I'm consciously thinking about it. Like, look at Roman, and then it didn't help that he was wrestling Bray Wyatt for the umpteenth time. Those aren't exactly exciting matches. Oh, and shout out to Dan Whalers who nailed it. This is awesome chant. You might have thought jumped the shark a long time ago. It certainly did tonight. Come on, Des Moines. Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns in the opener of a Raw 3 weeks from a off-brand pay-per-view. It wasn't awesome. It was a solid opening, 18-minute match. It would do some cool stuff, but it certainly did not deserve a This Is Awesome chant. Come on, Des Moines.
All right, let's go to we're getting one more call here, and then we got to get to our on-site correspondent in the next segment, who is standing by. But 256, we'll select you here to be on the show. What's your name, and what city are you calling from?
Hey, my name's Chris. I'm calling from Florence, Alabama.
All right, we're big in Alabama tonight. Very cool. What have you got for us?
Hey, just wondering what your thoughts are on John Cena not only being the loudest spot caller, but also giving Braun directions. Did you hear that?
I did not pick up on that. I might have been tapping the keyboard.
Rewind
I will,
and watch.
I will. It is
blatant, him telling him, slow down,
God.
Take your time, let the fans chant one more time. It was just, it was very obvious, and it was loud.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll definitely listen back.
Yeah, last week, he was, at the Rumble.
It was at the Rumble.
He was like, Shinsuke! It reminded me of Rico at the Survivor Series in, 2002, when he's like, Jeff, goddammit! And Jeff Hardy was way out of position, and Rico looked like an idiot for standing on the top rope for about 15 seconds and not doing the move to put the guy through the table that would have won the match. But yes, Cena is a very loud spot caller. He always has been. That's something.
Then you could see him visibly talking to Elias after he power slammed Elias too.
Listen, so part-time Cena is not a good worker for some reason, because he's just not good. This was the best match I've seen him in, and I think it's because he had enough moving parts where it wasn't just the focus on him and one other person. Part-time Cena gets, folded in half by Shinsuke Nakamura. Part-time Cena takes weird bumps on his tailbone because he's not, hasn't been in the ring in 3 months. And I think the spot calling, which he's always, like I said, been, pretty obvious with, lately, it's just like he doesn't even care to do the little, hey, let me put my arm over my mouth or anything. He's just, like you said, yelling at Elias or talking to Elias after the move, and it's just right there in your face.
There's something in John's,
in plain sight of the hard camera.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. And there's something that's always been the case with Cena where there's a certain self-awareness that he doesn't have that most people and most wrestlers have. He's very gifted and hardworking. I mean, he does a lot well. I mean, he really does. But there is a weird, self-awareness he just doesn't have about, the STF, unless someday it's on, maybe it'll be a cover story. Why? After the stuff with Benoit and after Daniel Bryan and all that, we didn't want to really apply chokes. But it's so obvious with him and no one else. I think it's an accident. Steve Austin called him out on that podcast. And on his podcast, and in this stuff, calling spots, it happens to the best of them sometimes. But with Cena, it seems exponentially more often. And I don't know if he thinks it doesn't matter or nobody has the guts to tell him, hey, John, tone it down. Or maybe he's hard of hearing. And so he's got to yell to hear his own voice and does it. I don't know. But it is absolutely a semi-chronic problem with him. Chris, anything else for us?
No, that's it. I appreciate everything y'all do.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. All right.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget, tomorrow, if you want to be part of the callers, give us a ring. Our number tomorrow, right after SmackDown, or within 2-3 minutes of SmackDown ending, 347-215-8558. You can call and just listen. You can push 1 on your touchtone phone and participate. You can also stream the show from our page, and the easy way to find it is WadeKellerPostShow.com. WadeKellerPostShow.com. That's where you go to live stream the caller portion of our show Monday night after Raw and Tuesday night after SmackDown. We will be tackling your emails in the mailbag segment coming up later in the program. We got a lot of good emails to get to, a lot more from Raw tonight to cover. And coming up next will be a conversation with our on-site correspondent in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, if you didn't hear about this, we now can offer our shows 4 days a week here, the Wade Keller podcasts and post shows, ad-free and commercial-free for VIP members again. So if you aren't a VIP member and you want to get these shows ad-free, along with dozens of other shows per week that are VIP exclusive, along with the ad-free live casts, check out our lineup and all the details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. And you can get this show, all four shows per week, including Interview Thursday, the Thursday flagship and Interview Friday, ad-free and commercial-free. I know that's a big thing for a lot of you, and we have brought that back as of last week. Also, you can support us when you shop Amazon. Just start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. Instead of going to amazon.com, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the giant, humongous Amazon logo, and it takes you right to where you're going anyway. But whatever you buy in that trip, we get a commission for. So it's like throwing a few quarters or a few bucks in the tip jar for us. The more of you that do it, it all adds up, and we thank you for that. So after this break, we'll come back with our on-site correspondent and then the mailbag. So stay tuned. All right, we're back, and we're now joined by Eric S. From Iowa, who attended Raw tonight, our on-site correspondent. Travis Bryant still with me, of course. Eric, thanks for joining us today. It sounds like the weather's pretty rough, but you made it home safely.
Yeah, a 20-car pileup was on the radio when I was driving to the stadium, so I didn't know what it was going to be like, but it wasn't too bad.
Wow. I mean, you guys are used to snow in Iowa. I mean, that's not...
This is the first big one of the winter here, yeah. So people just weren't ready for it.
Yeah, that happens. It happens to the best of our of these snow cities we're in. All right, well, let's talk about Rod. Did the traffic affect Rod, or the traffic, or traffic and weather affect attendance at Raw at all, or was it pretty full?
I thought it would, but honestly, there were sections, especially opposite hard cam, that like had patches missing. But for the most part, it was just the section that the hard cam was in that was tarped off, and then like the very top, where the stage would kind of be blocking your view. And that's about it. Otherwise, there were people all around the stadium. I can't really give you an accurate percentage, but it seemed like pretty full considering the weather conditions.
And would you rate the crowd as being enthusiastic and into the show compared to other shows you've been to or other shows just watching on TV?
Well, they haven't been here for Raw in a few years, but like as far as the SmackDown shows they've done, it's pretty much the same. They were into it, but it's a lot of family, like kids and stuff like that. So just kind of take that for what you will.
Yeah. I mean, it's a major venue. I mean, it holds 16,000-17,000 people for maybe more than that for wrestling minus the staging. So it sounds like a good crowd and good attendance for Raw being there. What was there anything? Were you there in time to see anything that happened before Raw went on the air?
The only thing I got to see was the end of, I'm assuming, the second main event match, which was Kalisto versus Daivari, which I was still trying to get situated, so I think Kalisto went over, but other than that, I didn't see very much.
Okay, yeah, well, if anybody out there listening attended the show but wasn't able to email us the results yet, drop us a line. You can always send results, by the way, to PWTorch at PWTorch.com for any live event you attend, including Raw and SmackDown. Send us your notes and we'll combine them into our Holt report that we put on PWTorch.com, usually the next day after Raw and SmackDown, giving a written recap of what happens off air, including sometimes notes from these conversations that we're having with Eric S. today. Travis, why don't you kick off questions about the rest of the program for Eric?
Yeah. Hey, did you personally, Eric, think that Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt was awesome?
A reference to the "this is awesome" chant. Yeah,
I was not in agreement with that. It's a little bit difficult because the section I was sitting in was mostly children and their parents, and especially like moms who were all really into Roman Reigns. I was thinking about it, and if I had to put it a title like Match of the Night on there, I guess it would be that one, but it would almost kind of be by default just because it went as long as it did and it was entertaining.
I mean, it was
kind of paint by numbers for both of them.
Yeah. Okay. I just, and after you said that Raw hasn't been there in a few years, it's like, okay, the first real match of the night, if they had a couple main event matches, they don't count. People are still getting popcorn and getting situated. But boom, they open up with, you know, Reigns versus Wyatt. I guess you could be kind of psyched into getting super excited and thinking that was awesome. So
they were excited about seeing Bray Wyatt come out first, definitely.
For sure. They lit up like crazy.
How would you describe the crowd reception for Roman Reigns for his ring entrance during the match, his second appearance much later in the night, for his ring entrance, and then also, you know, the big spots in the match? Did it change? I hear a lot at house shows, boos at the beginning, but they got into the action and cheered him at the end. How was it tonight at Raw for both of his matches?
I honestly didn't notice a whole lot of difference. It was kind of what you'd expect, the kind of guys with the deeper voices booing and the higher voices, the kids and moms all cheering. And it really wasn't that different first or second time. It was just maybe they had more merch to hold up the second time around, but that's about it.
All right. Who would you say was the most over wrestler of the whole night in front of the crowd, in terms of the crowd response?
That one's difficult. Seth Rollins, just because he's from Iowa, but I was surprised by like how much Elias got throughout, not only even him coming out before he ever started singing, but even just throughout him being out there. He got a really warm reception. I mean, there were boos in there too, but it was more over than I thought it would be.
Yeah, Coach even commented that the crowd seemed confused, and it was right after Elias's, you know, guitar singing performance, where they were, you know, one second they're booing him, and the next second they're cheering him, they're chanting along to him, and it's just, yeah, they're all over the place when it comes to him, and he said the crowd is very confused, and it did come across a little contradictory at times in terms of how they reacted to him, but I think they want to have fun and do what they're supposed to do. And that fun includes booing him, but they can't help but sometimes cheer him. That's kind of my take.
Yeah, some of those insults, even though they were pretty like basic insults about being a flyover state or something like that, I saw the dads laughing the loudest, pretty much. Like, the kids were booing, but the dads were like, oh, that was a pretty good one, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so how did Cena's response compare to Roman?
Definitely a lot warmer. No boos. I mean, there was John Cena sucks, but that's just, they said same thing to Kurt Angle pretty much. So, but yeah, it was pretty warm. I was surprised too, because I seemed like, especially teaming up with Elias there, that he was kind of wrestling heel a little bit, and no one seemed to be picking up on that I saw. I don't know. Maybe I missed something.
Yeah, yeah. What will you take as the most memorable aspect of attending the show tonight? Like, what 6 months from now, when you look back on it, what's going to stand out to you? It's sometimes that's an easy answer. You know, your pause is interesting because sometimes it's like, oh, Braun knocking stuff over, or this classic 25-minute match, or the debut of a big name wrestler. And this show, I don't think it was a bad show, but it didn't have like that one obvious thing.
Yeah, and I have to say it's also a little bit I was hoping that I would see Seth Rollins wrestle like a long match to get into the Elimination Chamber, just the way last week went, and those two really long, high-quality matches. I was assuming we would get two more than we just got the one with Roman Reigns, which was like a good match, but I was really hoping to see Seth like wrestle someone one-on-one in a good, you know, 10 to 20-minute segment, which I haven't seen in a long time.
Did the crowd get into Asuka Bayley?
They did, and especially I was sitting behind a row of girls. They all seemed to really be into Asuka. I was disappointed that not one of them was really cheering for Bayley, but they seemed to be impressed by Asuka.
So they have common sense. So they've been watching the product, basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
They know she's still sad. Yeah, it's still sad.
Bayley hugs people.
Hey, in the building, When the Jason Jordan promo or backstage stuff aired, was there any kind of conversation about his condition? Did anybody go, hey, I read he was hurt, or, you know, or anything like that? Or was that just kind of did they just go along with, you know, thinking he was going to be in the match later and that kind of thing?
Well, that's what I knew, but again, I was around a lot of families, so I don't think they were kind of up on that knowledge. It was mostly just hatred every time he came on the screen, and especially when he came out, and then when he came out again to start to cause the disqualification. People just do not like him.
Yeah, he got some boos when he just showing his face, and the crowd's like, boo! It's good. It feels like good old school heat when it comes to Jordan. They just despise him. What? How do you compare? You talked about the crowd being a little confused with Elias. How about Miz? Are people reacting to him like a star that they have an affection for and it's fun to boo him? Or do they have that Jason Jordan kind of heel of, oh, we don't like you, go away?
He crossed over a line. I don't even know that it went into it's fun to boo him. It's just they were cheering him for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there were some boos, definitely, especially at the points when he was acting like a heel. But for the most part, he was getting cheered, even by, again, the little girls in front of me. They were cheering for The Miz.
Wow.
I tune Miz promos out. I just go somewhere else in my mind. I'm just so not a fan of what he does on the microphone most weeks.
Hey, you're not alone. There is a contingent of people who do not get that the fact that Miz right now is over with a big portion of the ticket buying audience.
I think Miz is a big reason why people like Elias can go out there and call the audience all kinds of scumbags, and your mama wears combat boots and stuff, and they just we walk with Elias. Like, that guy just called your home a hellhole.
Yeah, a lot of people go, yeah, he's got a point. No offense to Des Moines, but everybody has sort of that, you know.
I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people are just like, yeah, I want to get out.
Okay, it's not just that. He does nothing to elicit what? Because he has a saying, he has a phrase that you can, like a lemming, walk with Elias. But my point is, I think Miz and the Miz kind of character, and I always say it, critiquing people's careers and stuff, you know, in character, and that being your gimmick and being so insider and all that kind of stuff, it's hurt. And maybe unfairly, but I think partially to blame for why the crowd reacts certain ways to certain people. Like Braun Strowman now, and this is nothing. It just reminded me, Braun Strowman, please don't make let the fans naturally go one more time if you want to give the guys another power slam. But you're going to get on the second rope and basically Hogan your ear to the crowd, like, hey, you want one more? Like, okay, so you're not an unstoppable monster that throws heavy machinery around. Now you're a ear cupping, you know.
He's a selfie video making ear cupping baby face who's part of the current hip generation. All right.
I had to bring that back. Yeah, no, I, yeah.
Anyway, Eric,
how many times did they show Power Slams on? How many times did each guy get Power Slammed on TV?
I think they showed all three.
Okay. Because that was kind of the end of the night.
Yeah.
So I didn't know.
They stayed with
it. It was awkward, though, because it did seem like, they're, you know, filling commercial time. I could imagine being in the building thinking, well, they probably cut away by now, and he's just doing something to please a crowd. Was there a dark match after the show, Eric?
Not that I'm aware of. It's just kind of Elias came in, and he said, he did a little bit into the microphone, not singing or anything, but just kind of said some stuff in the microphone and pretty much said good night. So that's when I headed out.
Did they advertise a match to help sell tickets that you're aware of?
Well, for the longest time they were doing an either a 6 or 8 tag match, like 8-man tag match. And they had that as Roman Strowman and Cena versus The Miz, Kane, and then first Samoa Joe, and then it became like The Bar with Seth Rollins on the other side too, but none of that happened. I guess the triple threat main event was enough.
Yeah, I mean, as usual, this might happen, it might not, but buy a ticket to see it, and we'll give you something else. We'll give you something else if it seems more convenient for us. I mean, honestly, it's a tough situation when they don't book their shows far ahead of time and they give it their best guess, but they're not going to ask Roma to go out there a third time, and I don't think the fans would want to see him a third time. But still, it's a little It's a little sloppy, but usually people are ready to go at the end of the night. Did Raw seem too long at 3 hours to you, or did it seem just right? I don't ask that very often anymore, but I'm kind of curious from an in-arena standpoint. It seemed like most of the action took place in the ring. There weren't a lot of extended backstage segments. I mean, a few here and there. But as a live show experience, how was it?
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I think that because they didn't do very much backstage, that it really did, it kind of went by faster than I thought. Like, there were times where it definitely dragged, but also there weren't too many, like, very, very long bathroom breaks where, you know, people just weren't watching wrestling at all.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you pay for your ticket, and where'd you sit, and are you happy with the price you paid?
Well, I sat in the section I normally sit in, which would be opposite hard cam, pretty much directly from the top of the stage, like second level, so not on the floor, the level above that, about eight rows up. So if anything, my view is if I was maybe sitting on the top rope, like opposite hard cam, and for $27, I think it was a pretty good deal.
Oh, those are Iowa prices. Those are not East Coast. LA prices.
That same section was 17 until this Raw. So wow. I was even doing better
he's
than
like,
that.
He's like, what the hell? $27. I'm like, wow, $27. That's cheap. You're like, $10 increase. What the hell?
No, I'm not complaining, but like, I mean, I even go to the box office to make sure like I don't pay any extra fees or anything. I just I sit there and talk with them and get the seat that I want for what I want to pay.
Yeah, good deal. Anything else you want to share from being in the building tonight? Anything off camera that might be noteworthy in terms of chants or signs or crowd fights? Let me ask so I don't forget. I know you're about to say something, but I'll forget that. What response did the announcers get when they came out? Did they introduce like Coach and Graves and Cole separately?
Yep. Cole was lukewarm. Graves was pretty good, and Coachman's was very positive.
Coach was cheered.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely as much like pretty much as much as most wrestlers.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I think it's just still kind of new.
Yep.
I wanted to say on my way out, I did notice that they were selling Undertaker t-shirts. I don't know if it's an older shirt, but just something where he's kind of got his trench coat open. He's got like an American flag inside the trench coat. But it's the first time in 3 years of going to a WWE event here that I've even seen Undertaker merchandise available. So I just thought that might be significant.
Oh, no, that is worth noting. I don't remember. Travis, if you remember hearing about Taker merch being available?
No.
Standard? Yeah. So that's a good note. Good job reporting. That's a good fact.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Eric, thank you. Glad you made it home safely. And I really appreciate you sharing your experience tonight.
All right. Thank you both.
Absolutely. All right. We're now back for the mailbag segment of the program. Don't forget, you can hashtag WKP, WP. If you are on Twitter and want to take a picture of where you are when you're listening to this show, and if you want to see where other people are in the world when they're listening to this show, just look up hashtag WKPWP. That's our version of the selfie video, Travis. We're trying to be really, really cool and happening with social media and hashtags. How we doing?
You're trying too hard.
All right. If you want to be a correspondent, like Eric S. was in the last segment, for a future edition of Raw or SmackDown here on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, just email me, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And let me know in the subject line, ideally, the date and the city. And let me know if we can reach out to you. And we'll get to you hopefully before the day of the show if I've got my act together and line something up. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. Don't forget tomorrow, our post-SmackDown show, live right after SmackDown ends, and then available, of course, for download afterwards, the complete final version of the show, as usual, available. Although we should be getting them up a couple hours sooner than we had been before the brand split last week. So you can now look for the show a couple hours earlier. We should be able to cut down our production time now. And then I'm really going in the time machine talking about Interview Thursday. The Thursday flagship will feature Jason Powell this week, and then Interview Friday, Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, formerly of TNA. I just broke one of his rules by saying that. You can hear him explain what that is on part one of the interview this week. Good stuff coming up this week. All right, let us go to our email. And we got a lot of mail today. We might not get to all of them, but we'll get to as many of as we can here. It depends on how long our answers are, Travis. Stephen M. says,
"Wait a second.
What?
So wait a second."
Stephen M. says, "Did Drake Maverick impress you on commentary tonight? I thought he was great, and with Roderick Strong on 205 tomorrow, I'll definitely watch his match. Not sure about the Lucha match. Is this a start of a 205 Live upswing?" I thought it was interesting, Travis. They mentioned that he used to be known as Rockstar Spud, and now he's known as Drake Maverick. A little transition moment there, sort of like when Kerry Von Erich showed up, and for 1 week he was Kerry Von Erich, and then he became Texas Tornado. Or when Big Show showed up, he was the Giant Paul White, and then the next week he's the Big Show. Okay, maybe not exactly like that. But what'd you think of him on commentary and the sales job they did to try to get people to watch 205 Live?
Yeah, unfortunately, I only saw and heard the last, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of the match. So I saw, you know, the go-home spots of the match and heard, is it Mandrake? Drake Mandrake? Drake Maverick. Drake Maverick. I only heard Drake Maverick on commentary for a few minutes.
I was not going to help you there, by the way. I was going to let you struggle longer than Kurt Angle did.
He sounded fine. I thought, again, I didn't get a ton of context, but what I heard sounded fine. And I think 205 is on the – I mean, it had no place to go but up, really. So certainly is on an upswing. I'm interested in how all these guys fit in on 205.
I like announcing Roderick Strong. I like saying, you know, some others might show up. Will it be obviously people are, you know, anticipating a certain names who they hope will show up again. But I mean, with Hideo Itami, Ricochet, who knows, maybe Rey Mysterio. I mean, let the imagination go wild. This could be what I've been advocating for, which is if you're going to do it, why not go all in and do it right? I understand the counter argument, which is it's doing no harm, and if you load it up with stars who would be better presented elsewhere instead of being pulled down by what the perception of 205 Live being kind of a place for smaller guys who can't cut it on the main roster and wrestle in the heavyweight division. I get that. I just am more.
What's wrong with that, though?
What's wrong with continuing with that?
No. What's wrong with having a place for guys that don't wrestle or can't wrestle in the heavyweight division or smaller guys?
The argument, okay. But then I think the argument has to be stop complaining that 205 Live isn't good because it just is what it is, and it's there as not a must-see show on the network, but it's some cheap original programming and a chance to give some other guys some work. My argument is I believe the cruiserweight division can be a draw on the network. I think it can be a show that people that creates a buzz and has a niche. And I think there's enough good small wrestlers, quote small wrestlers, smaller than average wrestlers out there that Raw features cruiserweight. So if you put Adam Cole or Ricochet or you know pick your Rey Mysterio on 205 Live, it doesn't mean they can't be a mainstay on Raw either. It just means you're saying to fans, this division is now a big deal, and stars want to be in it. And I think you can make it a show that helps sell network subscriptions or helps stop that churn where people show up for the big shows and disappear again. I think there's a business reason to do it. I think Drake Maverick did a really good job articulating that this is a new start, and we've got our tournament. They're referencing the Cruiserweight Classic tournament to try to get people excited again to go, hey, we did it right once, remember? We're going to try to do that again. The only thing missing is where did Drake Maverick come from and why did he get put in charge of this? Like, I would like a little bio info to kind of explain that it's not just because he's a good talker. I'll just say everybody can look forward to what Nick Aldis has to say about Rockstar Spud. It was a interesting answer when I asked him about how he'll do in WWE. But I'd like a little more bio info on the main TV show or on 205 Live so we kind of know where he came from and why he was put in charge. He's not just because he's a good talker, you know, and used to wrestle.
Right. Yeah. Give him a fake marketing background or something or administrative or management. You know, like, yeah, the guy, you know, is familiar with cruiserweight style and, you know, because of his size and all that, but he also has management skills. He ran his small business. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. No, totally. It doesn't have to be real. Just make it plausible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stephen M. adds, He says, forget about 205 Live for Drake. Have him take over for Kurt after Kurt bumbled through that next segment. Steven also brings up, if Nia somehow wins, does she get a say in which title she and Asuka pick to go after? They did not. Jason Paul mentioned this in his report at ProWrestling.net. Asuka did not, unless I'm forgetting and Jason's forgetting, she did not declare which champion she wants to face. And now they're acting like there was this whole show we all missed where she declared. Or maybe Angle is just leaving it open that, Nia gets a vote.
Asuka still gets to pick because it's her choice. But regardless of who she picks, it's going to be a triple threat.
Then the announcers should bring up, hey, if Asuka chooses to challenge Charlotte, just ask the question and have Cole go, got it. Again, this goes against what I said earlier, but maybe Cole or Grace can go, I don't think Kurt Angle thought this through. pick on him a little bit.
Yeah. Kurt might want to fight Corey after that.
What do you think of that? What was your take on?
I thought Booker needs to have a seat, maybe several seats. I think that's a little much. I didn't understand. Wait, you want to have a promoted WrestleMania fight with the guy? I was so confused. You're mad at the guy, but I wasn't sure if it was serious or if it wasn't. I'm 65% sure it was serious, but some of the, saying I'm not going to do anything at the airport or at the office, but if I see him in the street, what streets?
I know.
Y'all don't hang out this.
I think he wanted to threaten Corey Graves, but also keep his job with the plausible deniability that he was joking. Now, I say that with this caveat. I did not hear it. I only read the quotes. And I want to listen because that's why I kind of hedged on the Wade Keller hotline for VIP members last night when I talked about this, is I don't want to come down too hard on him unless I hear the tone, because it might really come across one way or the other. But even so, I got to say, I don't know that threatening to want to fight your coworker. But what I had a bigger problem with is what sounded genuine, which is everybody knows I'm a nice guy until you mess with my money. And Corey's messing with my money. Corey Graves did not get Booker T ousted from Raw. Booker T's commentary got Booker T ousted from Raw, and that decision was made by Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, not Corey Graves. So if Corey had an issue with Booker because Booker kept saying incredibly stupid things over and over again, and Corey cares about the quality of the broadcast, and Corey expressed that and called him out, and there were a couple times Corey's been wrong about Booker's, Booker saying things that he didn't say or correcting him when he wasn't wrong. But overall, Corey, I think, has pride in his work, and Booker was lost on color commentary most of the time. Booker was messing with the wrestler's money by his comments undercutting what the wrestlers and the writers were trying really hard to get across to their audience. So Booker was already messing with other people's money because he wasn't good at his job, and it's the wrong job for him. He's talented. He's a nice guy. But color commentary is not his thing, Travis.
Can we talk about how that was all that money is house money? You were supposed to be there for six weeks.
Yep.
That was a year ago.
Yes. I know.
So what are you talking about?
All right,
messing
staying on
with money.
Going back to the women for a second. VIP member Dustin says, everybody go VIP. Thank you, Dustin. Just curious what you and your co-hosts think could happen to Alexa Bliss if she loses a championship at Elimination Chamber. I'm wondering how a babyface run would work for her, especially if she's not going to have a title to elevate her. I'm personally a big fan and kind of fear what will happen if she loses a title, although I wouldn't mind her losing the title to Sasha Banks. Ah, Dustin, I see. You're worried about Alexa unless it helps Sasha. Now we see where you're looking.
I don't understand what he means fear what would happen. She's way too big of a personality, way too valuable to get lost in anybody's shuffle.
Well, that's what he wants to hear. Now he's not scared.
I think she's going to be fine whether she has a title or not. They're going to put her out there and have her and have things revolved around her in some kind of way. So that I wouldn't worry about. She's too good of a personality. I'm going to be very specific when I say, she's too good of a personality, too good of a talker to not be utilized. And she's a decent worker.
Plenty of bad acting that goes on in professional wrestling. I thought Alexa and Mickey had a chemistry and played off each other really well when Mickey was trying to figure out, why did you save me? And Alexa was like, hey, are you okay? And Mickey's like, yeah, but, you know, I am. And, like, I just thought there was a chance to really ham that up and overplay it, and I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, they've done a good job even when they were, you know, initially together a year or so ago. And, you know, that ended much too soon. Their relationship, buddy-buddy thing that they were doing, heel buddies.
Nick Aldis also has some thoughts on his wife, Mickey James, and where she might fit into the Ronda Rousey situation. And so some good stuff. I'm teasing that interview because I want people to listen. It's a good one. All right, Roz from Muncie, Indiana. Hey, Wade and Travis, I'm noticing tonight, a lot of women, a few questions about the women's division. I'm noticing tonight that they're really harping on the notion that if Nia Jax beats Asuka at Elimination Chamber, Nia will be added to the Raw Women's Championship match at WrestleMania. To me, this seems like they're actually telegraphing Nia ending Asuka's streak and moving on to face Alexa at Mania, while Asuka moves on to SmackDown to face Charlotte. Do you think this would be a wise move, and is Nia the right choice to end Asuka's streak if this does indeed happen? So there's another alternative, that Nia wins, she faces the winner of the Elimination Chamber on Raw, Asuka, and maybe it would look bad for Asuka, and this won't work.
Tucks her tail and goes to
SmackDown. Yeah, it looked like she's winning something by losing, you know, well, yeah.
And then number one, the whole thing stops when you talk about Nia beating Asuka. I love Nia Jax. That ain't happening. I don't want that to happen. I don't want Nia Jax in February 2018 or March 2018 beating Asuka. No.
I think Asuka should be undefeated and Ronda should be undefeated and they should be on separate paths and then cross paths at WrestleMania.
Right. If she chooses Charlotte and goes to SmackDown and and beat Charlotte at WrestleMania and is now SmackDown Women's Champion, and Ronda Rousey is on Raw and they do whatever, yes, that's a fine way of getting Asuka onto SmackDown.
Absolutely. And then you do Superstar Shakeup and bring Charlotte back to Raw. And then, you know, Charlotte and Ronda can do their thing on Raw. Asuka does her thing on SmackDown against whoever is, you know, still there after the Superstar Shakeup. And and then they're on separate paths. And you build Asuka Ronda up to a match that can headline WrestleMania, perhaps, if they want to actually end the show with that. And that'd be a moment.
Earlier, though, I was a little hard on Bayley, like I think deservedly. But tonight, she was really good. Cool. When she sat down with Sasha Banks and said, I can beat you. And if you could hang with Asuka, then, you know, I definitely got a shot. That was great. And then she wrestled the match like somebody who wanted to beat Asuka.
Yes. It was like so nice seeing her get back into that mode.
She was aggressive.
Yep.
I mean, kicking Asuka in the head and, you know, that Hurricane Rana on the outside and just not backing down. Asuka would, you know, get super aggressive and hit her with a bunch of forearms, and she would, you know, outwork her and do a wrestling hold to neutralize. You know, it was just the psychology of that match made a lot of sense, and her physicality and aggressiveness was good, even in a loss. And I don't know why they don't. Maybe because they don't want to. But you got to use the fact that this was not their first time facing each other. This was out of all their three matches. I think they've had three matches. Bayley lost the title to her, then lost a rematch against Asuka in NXT. And Asuka ragdolled her, just beat the crap out of her in both those matches. So this match, there was an opportunity to tell a story of, oh, this is a different Bayley than we saw 2 years ago. But you'd have to introduce, you know, so I understand they don't want to maybe muddy the waters with their NXT stuff, but they're the same characters, the same people, same, you know, so it's not that hard. It just takes a little effort, but they were very good in this match and Bayley specifically. And then the handshake afterwards, I thought, again, that was just another, like, okay, maybe they're slowly but surely just trying to build Bayley back up. And, you know, Bayley shaking her hand and selling the arm, and that was good.
Do you think that the reason Sasha Banks sits on a chair and facing straight forward, but then looks 90 degrees to her right to look at an iPad sitting on a stand that's aiming forward, you know, like 45 degrees forward, is because of what happened last week when she fell on her head? Or is that just WWE thinking we're freaking idiots that we won't get she's watching her match back if she watches it like everybody else in the world watches an iPad, which is holding it with two hands like a book?
No. I get it. You can even go as far as say, no. They want the audience to see what she's watching. Well, what if they show, like, we go, well, whose magenta head is that? I can't see her face. Yeah. Or maybe it's a he. I can't tell. Is that? Oh, and then she turns around. Oh, it's Sasha. Wow, I didn't. I think that's, no, they think we're idiots.
They don't think we're idiots. They're the idiots because they.
Absolutely. Yeah. They think yes. They're yes. No. There's a lot to that, but yes, they are the idiots. And
I don't believe Matt Hardy stands backstage, staring at a monitor that's sitting on a white tablecloth, just standing there, looking down at a television, laughing the whole time, like. It's just, you can stage that stuff more realistically. And it's like, again, it's my thing about the selfie videos. Have it fit the character. Like, you could really create it. Matt can be hanging upside down from the ceiling laughing at that.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, do something that makes him out to be crazy, but don't stand him in the same spot that Stephanie and Hunter are rubbing their chins when they're watching things. It's just.
But at least they did it from the, you know, they weren't showing what he was watching. They showed the back of the TV, and so you got a more straight-on shot of him.
I don't think so. I think they showed the TV. We'll have to check the tape.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, Gene says, does the way WWE, the way that WWE's been booking Asuka the last couple weeks, beating Sasha, Bayley, and most likely Nia Jax in Elimination Chamber, tip that she's going to go to SmackDown to face Charlotte at WrestleMania? It seems weird they'd have her beat all of them and Alexa in mostly unadvertised matches. Who would she have left to defend the title against after she wins at WrestleMania? Love the show. I think that's a great point Gene makes. I mean, she is kind of just running the gauntlet here, plowing through everybody.
Yeah, no, that's something I thought about. I thought, wow, this is the second week. And, you know, last week it's like, all right, it's after WrestleMania, or it's the night after the Rumble. They have an issue, Sasha and Asuka, from the Rumble, you know, Sasha lasting so long and Asuka winning. It makes sense that Sasha would want to have a chip on her shoulder from, you know, the way she was eliminated and thinking she should win. But then they have another match with Bayley and they have such a quality match that they didn't make much of a fuss about. I thought it was a missed opportunity.
Be sure you're checking out my website, pwtorch.com, every single day. That's pwtorch.com every day, including my Monday night and Tuesday night live reports on Raw and SmackDown, my live reports on WWE pay-per-views, news updates throughout the day, editorials, a whole diverse team of writers and contributors, flashback articles, and more. That's pwtorch.com. And if you're an MMA fan, be sure to check out MMATorch.com, including the latest UFC news, fight card previews, live fight coverage, editorials, and more. PWPodcasts.com is our sister site with written recaps of pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts. So when you don't have time to listen or you just want to see what our reviewers thought of a show you just listened to, check out PWPodcasts.com. Hey, don't forget to show support for this show if you haven't yet by going to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and giving us a 5-star rating. Just search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts and click that 5th star. And a big thanks to those who have already done so. I said we got a lot of emails, and we did, and we have a lot of emails about the women's division. Another one here from JB from Detroit. He goes, hey, Wade and Travis, I think it would be a terrible idea to end Asuka's undefeated streak on a random episode of Raw before Mania just to shoehorn Nia Jax into a triple threat match. I'm not totally against adding Nia to the match, but there has to be a better way of getting there than having Asuka lose. Couldn't they have her beat Alexa Bliss? And as a free shameless plug for VIP, I can't recommend it enough to your listeners, especially during WrestleMania season. The content is unmatched and will keep you more than entertained, especially this time of year. Thank you, JB. By the way, earlier today we introduced our Talking Honor podcast, a new weekly show that'll drop every Monday, reviewing that weekend's new ROH TV show and also the news of the week in terms of big matches being announced. Check that out, Harley and Lola, the hosts of that show. And we really Hope you'll go VIP and check that out if you're an ROH fan. We got, finally, a dedicated ROH podcast to go along with our dedicated NXT podcast that is available free at pwtorchlivecast.com every Wednesday. But the or just search PW Torch and Apple Podcasts. That whole lineup are free. But the ROH one is just VIP exclusive. So look for that on Mondays. Travis, I don't... First of all, I think JB, and it's easy to get this mixed up. Maybe I mixed up. It's not going to be a random match on Raw. It's a match at the pay-per-view, right?
It's an advertised match at a pay-per-view. Yeah.
Right. So just in terms of JB's question, he made it sound like he thought the match was going to be on a random Raw. But no, it's Asuka and Nia one-on-one at Elimination Chamber, either before or after the Women's Chamber match. So that, I don't know if that changes his point, but nevertheless...
I don't want her in. When he said I'm not against her being in the match, no, I'm absolutely against Nia Jax being in the match and making it a triple threat. I'd rather see Asuka versus whoever one on one. That doesn't need to be muddied with a third contestant.
All right, another women's question here, Jeff from Colorado. I wish they'd stop putting Asuka on TV every week. When it comes to somebody as strong as Asuka, wouldn't it behoove WWE, there we go, to have her on TV less often? Do you know of a valid reason they need to put Asuka up against the rest of the women's division so frequently?
Yeah, if we go back to the last question.
Yep.
Are they just having her just establish her dominance on Raw to then, you know, go away for a year or so? But I think even if she was going to stick around, I'd have an issue with her, you know, running through so many top level opponents. That would be a concern. But I'm not at the point where I'm like either sick of seeing her, which he's not, but he's just saying like her prestige and keeping her, I guess, maybe a mystique about her. I think it's just kind of more of it's just typical. So I'm not. You know, we're just jaded to seeing everybody every week. So, if you know,
here's the thing. I think Asuka is so good that you want to give people an idea of how good she is on a large scale. And Raw is the way to expose the audience to how good she is, and have the part of the audience that don't understand how good she is to now appreciate that. And I also think, let me read an email from Matt, because this plays into what I'm about to say. Matt from Rhode Island said, so they announced that tonight Bayley will face Asuka, and then Asuka will face Nia Jax at the pay-per-view. I get that they're trying to build up Asuka as an unstoppable force before putting the title on her, but there has to be a better way to do that than have her run through all the top stars on Raw. I think that's a bad idea when most of those matches could be saved for title matches after WrestleMania when Asuka is a champion. Your thoughts? So I think two things are at play here. I think they want to show how good Asuka is. She's not going to be wrestling every week on TV for the next 9 months. This is still early in her run. And I think it's also a chance, it sounds weird to say it, but having Asuka beat Sasha and beat Bayley in really good matches, I think is raising the star power of Sasha and Bayley. And telling a story that works well for Sasha if she turns heel, and Bayley as an underdog, that they had these really good spirited competitive performances, but they weren't good enough to beat Asuka. You can build on that. You can tell that story in a sports-like way. You're not squashing them. You're not hurting them beyond repair by having this. So you're showing off Asuka temporarily. This will end probably before WrestleMania. She's not going to be wrestling every week. But you have these backstories now that you built on the main roster. So I think it works. Plus the other possibility, which is this is being done because Asuka's going to end up on SmackDown with a whole new batch of opponents to face, and they want to get this backstory and build her up at the expense of some of the Raw women before she leaves. Whether that means she, you know, however she ends up on SmackDown, and maybe it's post superstar shakeup. But
yeah.
All right, let's. Go ahead.
Before you move immediately on to the next one, check your Twitter. I think Kicksmart, my heart, might be on to something as far as these WWE selfie videos. He says he gave me credit. Travlord may have found a way to turn WWE off on the selfie promo gimmick. And it's
That's awesome.
So it's Braun Strowman cutting his backstage promo, and someone I hope someone, not Braun himself, but someone superimposed like a rabbit ears. That's like hilarious. They just did a Snapchat filter and he's chewing on a carrot and he's like crunching sound effects and he's got a cute little nose and whiskers and bunny ears. So maybe if we can make that go viral, they'll go, oh no, we can't have our tough guys getting messed with like this.
And people thought at the top of the show I was kidding about the fact that Travis is on social media all the time. You're doing a podcast and you're still keeping up on social media.
I got a tweet on what am I supposed to do?
You're just don't be defensive and play into my day, no matter how unfair and out of context it may be.
I'm still upset. I'm walking in traffic. I yell at people. I beep the horn at this idiot college kid. Just what the whole intersection, Wade. He crossed the street with his face down. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm on my phone. I might bump into an old lady. But I'm not going to put my life in danger crossing the street. I could take three seconds to cross the street.
I will confess, a couple years back, I was walking around a beautiful Minnesota lake, one of the 10,000 plus here in Minnesota, on a beautiful summer day, and looking at my phone as I was walking, stepped right into a gap in the sidewalk or a hole in the ground, whatever it was, and fell. And the person I was with was laughing for about 20 minutes longer. And I wish I had been doing a selfie video, because then I would have. I would not share it, but I would watch it and get a kick out of it. All right. So, all right. Let's see. Up next, David says, I noticed a massive – this is crazy, the women emails coming in today. I noticed a massive improvement in the women's storylines. I'm stunned to see three separate segments for the women on one show, none of which have been messy and overrun by the entire locker room. I'm guessing that now that the Royal Rumble hysteria is over, we can move on and have proper storylines for the women going forward. Hey, I'll say even the Survivor Series hype is gone, too. That was a mess. Although we still have this mixed match challenge nonsense. I'd love to see Sasha turn heel and a title win for her at Elimination Chamber. And he goes, P.S., we have another one. Sonya Deville has a ton of potential. Do you have an early pick, Travis, for Elimination Chamber?
I think Alexa retains.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's move to a different topic here. Eric G, VIP member from Charlotte. So there's a couple things that caught my eye when they were promoting the triple threat match to determine entrant number 6 for the Elimination Chamber match. First, why did they have this match this week before all the entrants were determined? Why do Elias, Strowman, and Cena get the advantage over the other three men just because their qualifying matches were scheduled earlier? I swear, it seems they're unfairly stacking the deck against Roman Reigns and the two other guys, I guess. Secondly, as awkward as those selfie promos are, why did Cena make his even more awkward by pacing back and forth during it? When he first did it, I assumed he was going to mention his motive by making a lame Cena-type pun, but he kept doing it and never mentioned why. The only reason I could imagine him doing this is he had limited room in the hallway, and the director-producer just told him to pace to make up for space. Did they not think people wouldn't notice? It just came off as forced and overly prepared and made me hate this promo format even more.
But prepared for what? Like, what is... I don't even get the point of...
I think overly prepared means overly produced, like overly scripted, overly meticulously stage directionized.
Maybe.
Yeah. I was getting nauseous watching. And the background was so shaky. You know, the camera's in steady mode, trying to steady the background, and it was just a mess. It is something TNA would have done when they didn't want to pay professional camera people to be around to shoot promos all afternoon, so they'd all take out their selfie phones. And I mean, I agree, Travis, there's a time for it. I'm not saying eliminate all of it, but.
Don't. Sounds like it. You are.
Yeah, I know. All right. Another person. Harrison. Why are all the wrestlers entering? It's unfair that only three wrestlers get a chance to do that. I hope Kurt Angle is called out on that. All right. Chris from Toronto. It looks like the concerns that
maybe the next three will have a match to see who's the fifth. You know, so it's not the best advantage, but it's the second best advantage you can have.
And then all three, they can be in a three-way with Nia Jax, and whoever wins gets to, I don't know. All right, let's make it up as they go along. Chris from Toronto, it looks like the concerns that Vince just wouldn't get the revival on the main roster were well-founded. I just don't understand the psychology of having them declare they are tag team specialists and then have them lose immediately afterwards in a tag team match. It makes no sense.
But they had a tag team, you know, they did all the tag teamy things. They isolated the guy and all the tag team, the tags. And, you know, they wrestled like a good tag team until they lost.
It makes no sense. It's completely counterproductive to giving them any credibility. The exact same thing could have been achieved with the original one-on-one match without completely killing their character. I really feel this is another Bayley situation in the making, and it's frustrating. I was at the TakeOver where DIY finally beat them for the tag titles, and they really seemed like they had the potential to be the anchor team of a main roster tag division, but they're already damaged. I mean, I just do a singles match, and then afterwards say, we're tag team specialists, and have their heat be, you know, the heat and credibility come from the fact that they lose singles matches, and then you can do a multi-week storyline. To have them lose to a sort of a makeshift team of Finn Balor and Carl Anderson, too, like, oh, we weren't, you know, Anderson wasn't even preparing to wrestle, you know, and to still lose. I'm with Chris. I think it's too soon to have them losing like this.
Yeah, and follow and coming off of you know, getting beat up by all by DX and those guys in the Balor Club, you know, 2 weeks ago. It hasn't been great, and but they won on the kickoff show that I didn't see. But you know, for a team that I hate, I'm like starting to get pissed off that they're not getting, you know, treated well. Yeah, you know, so fake ass Arn Andersons.
All right. Let's go to Matt from Eastbourne, England. Eastbourne, England. PW Torch VIP member since November 2015 and love it. Thank you, Matt. Just a quick question, but have you noticed Roman starting to get a better reception during his matches after he changed up his moveset slightly? His drive-by gets reversed more now. He does the 10 clotheslines less, if at all, and now hits the spear, usually for the win, from ducking a clothesline, coming off the ropes and hitting it. On top of rearranging his normal moves, which he doesn't have many outside of his big moves, but that's something else. I feel his curry mix-up of his moves. Is that a phrase? His curry mix-up, or is that a typo?
I mean, it's probably a UK thing.
Oh,
sure. Definitely like curry. So.
Yeah. I do, too. I feel his curry mix-up of his moves are getting stalled, and I think that's why it's so prominent to me at this time. Many thanks for everything PW Torch produces, which I couldn't name all of here because I'd go on all night. As all Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin shows are great. I love the newsletter, and the Wade Keller Hotline keeps me up to date daily. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, Travis, it's the same moves, but I do think there's something to mixing things up. I think that WWE has an edict to wrestlers to kind of mix things up anyway. I think we have some finishes coming out of nowhere, the Mickie James finish, done in part to protect Sonya, but I think partly to play into the finishes can come at any time in a match. And I think we're seeing that more often, and I like it. I think it was needed so that fans are anticipating possible three counts when the final finishing move hasn't happened, or there hasn't been that interference or controversy leading to the finish. There's going to be times they do it, like with Jason Jordan, and you kind of, you know, but you can't do it all the time. So I think Roman is fitting into an overall edict that's roster wide, but I do think it's helping him to not be a video game wrestler being controlled by an expert 11-year-old kid who knows how to hit all the moves and never have them backfire that people get sick of. So I think a more vulnerable Reigns, who's more resourceful when things don't seem to be going his way, but less of the playing to the crowd and building up the move before he does it, is a positive.
Yeah, I mean, having Bray Wyatt sell the, like, Undertaker when Michael's kicked out of the tombstone for when he kicked out of his sister Abigail, I thought was a little much, just being very specific to the match tonight. But specific to the question, I don't correlate the crowd response to his moves. It's more, I think, his attitude. I think his Intercontinental title run did a lot for him. I think I go back to the night he won that title and the way he held it and like hugged it and kissed it, like wow, Roman cared about winning that title. I can't believe it. So it's more of that stuff.
Yeah,
how he comes off, what he, and then, you know, how he cuts his promos, and I think, you know, having reverence for that belt, for that title, and cutting that promo that it, like he did tonight, that straightforward, you know, this is what I'm gonna do, this is my agenda kind of promo. That's what helps him, not you know, I'd changed up my moveset 3%.
Well, I think that's part. I think it all is. I think you can, you know, death by a thousand cuts, but you can also have the reverse. Whatever the reverse of that cliche is.
Yeah.
I don't know if someone let me know. But this is the opposite. I mean, I do think you can, you know, straighten your tie 100 times on a show and end up with a better show, even if each one of them seems kind of, you know, unimportant and silly. Todd Martin. And so, you know, if Roman starts kind of tweaking things here and there, I mean, it might be pointless and people are still going to hate him forever, but I think it's worth trying and worth noticing.
I've seen Todd Martin in a suit. So I understand why he thinks straighten your tie moments aren't that important.
I don't even know what that means, but you deal with Todd now. All right. Walter says, did you hear Booker T's recent comments on his move from commentary? Could you give your thoughts? Love the show. And I shared your guilty pleasure regarding his commentary. Travis, we already did talk about Booker, but how is Coach doing? And do you kind of miss waiting around for the Booker moments?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't. And Coach is, man, I feel a lot different than I did about Coach, you know, 8 years ago today. Whenever he left after his original run 10 years ago, however long it's been. No, he was a welcome addition. He's a pro. He's the guy who isn't – you're not going to be able to talk to and treat Coach the way they did before.
Yeah, that's a good
right?
point.
Like, yep. You know, I'm good at what I do, but I'm not your toady anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think him having confidence that he's not going to get, like, effed with, that helps.
Yeah.
And he's just – he's a professional. He's, like, really good.
He's smooth. I'm waiting for him to have a discernible character that isn't the straight ESPN guy, because there's an overlap with Michael Cole in that way. But I'm also relieved at what you said, that there is a more gravitas to his presentation that WWE is letting him have. But at some point, I want there to be a chemistry that develops that works, that plays off of Corey Graves well, because I think there's a little bit of a redundancy or an overlap, or just he's not – I mean, and this is about three-man boosts in general too often, but I'm not quite sure what his purpose is yet. So he's been good, sometimes not all that noticeable. When he is noticeable, you're not groaning or thinking he's undercutting what the product is doing. But I would say that what he's doing is all that important in that Michael Cole couldn't just be doing it instead, and you just save the crowded announce desk. Does that seem fair? I mean,
no, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right, Travis. One more question about the women. Brian says, "Great job with the podcast. Love the show. Quick question: on a recent podcast, it was indicated that Asuka and Ronda Rousey should be kept undefeated for a dream match at next year's WrestleMania. Yes, I think that. My question is, where does that leave the jewel of the women's division, Charlotte? Is she all of a sudden relegated to second tier status? In my opinion, the money match is Charlotte-Asuka, and assuming Asuka challenges and defeats Alexa Bliss, should be the dream match. The glitch is they'll have to meet at Survivor Series if both remain as champions for the long term. Likewise, shouldn't this keep Ronda out of the title picture until after Survivor Series? I actually like this scenario for Ronda better, as it allows for the Four Horsewomen feud this summer. What are your thoughts?" I want to add to that, Travis, your thoughts on all this Ronda Rousey news, the big headlines last Monday, the fallout from it, you know, showing the headlines in the media. Not a mention of it today. On Raw. Not a mention of it tonight. I get that they want people focused on what the women are doing now, and they don't want to seem like Ronda's bigfooting everything and stealing the spotlight, sucking the oxygen out of what the women are doing. And I do think that's probably the motivation for this. And their general policy of, we're going to promote what's in front of us and not dwell on things that aren't, her time will come. But I do think with Ronda, you run the risk of losing some momentum. This was a big deal. And how do you have a show that spends so much time on the women and not, I don't think, have Ronda Rousey's name mentioned even once?
Yeah, I didn't take notice because I'm not a fan of Ronda Rousey, the professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not anticipating her showing up and being, you know, I'm worried she's just coming in to play wrestler.
Right. Well, I think everybody should be worried about that. But I mean,
for a while. Yeah. So I'm not I'm not on the edge of my seat. Like, oh, why did they didn't bring up Ronda Rousey? I kind of forgot about her because I don't care about Ronda Rousey in that in a professional wrestling context.
Yeah, but if you're going to sign her and pay big money and do all these headlines,
sure.
It seems like
no, totally.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like, I just want Coach to go, you know what I'm curious about? When Ronda's done shooting this movie and jumps into WWE full on, I want to know where she's going to fit in. And, you know, when, you know, just, I don't, I mean, there's got to be a way to safely introduce her into the mix as this kind of figure that's hovering over this growing evolution of the women's division with a lot of interesting things happening. Just bring her up and say, I wonder how she's going to fit in and when she shows up. But it just seems you get people excited about it, and now it's like, oh, deal fell through, and now we're going to pretend it never happened. Like, that's the vibe you get now, and I don't think that's what they want.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't have even one mention, I thought maybe I just assumed, like, I missed it, maybe. You know, the first hour, I'm still at work, and I'm watching on my phone and stuff, so I'm, you know, not catching every little thing.
Yeah.
So to hear that, not one mention, that's a little strange.
Yep. All right, very good. Travis, thanks. Good conversation. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It was fun. Appreciate the invites all the time.
Excellent. So check out Travis on eastcoastcast.com or just search East Coast Cast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast you use to listen to podcasts or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. He's on live streaming every Wednesday night starting at what time?
6:30 Eastern.
6:30 Eastern. And you're on for, is it 7 hours, 6 hours?
Usually we've run a little short these days, so we go about three and a half hours.
Yep. Very good. Thanks, Travis, and thanks to all the listeners for your support. Tomorrow, I'll be joined on the post-SmackDown show by Mike Chiari, returning as guest co-host. He co-hosts over at Ring Rust Radio, and then over on the Podcast One Blue feed, we'll have our flagship show on Thursday with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, and then Interview Friday, part one with Nick Aldis, who is on a crusade defending the NWA title 20 times in 60 days. And we'll talk about how that came about and some good conversation about a wide array of topics.
So he is the champion? He beat that old guy?
Yes.
Good.
Yep, he is the reigning and defending champion. He hasn't defended it yet. His first defense coming up this week.
Maybe I'll watch NWA now because I refused all that. Yeah, that guy. He shouldn't have been. Like, that guy's their champion?
The videos were good, but it was not a long-term sustainable
move.
Plan.
I'm supposed to believe he's the champion of anything?
Well,
I'm sorry. Anyway,
yes. All right. Thanks, Travis.
Absolutely. Thanks, Wade.
If you enjoy this show, you might also enjoy some other topics that are covered by my colleagues over at PW Torch Livecast. It's 7 days a week, 7 shows covering niche topics and themes. The newest show, Pat McNeil, hosting on Tuesdays, a show called Making the List. Each episode that drops Tuesday nights features a top 7 list on a specific theme and a discussion on that, along with some other topics with a special guest co-host from the wrestling world or one of his colleagues at pwtorch.com. There's also an NXT show on Wednesdays, an Impact show on Thursday nights, a Best of Livecast on Friday nights, the Deep Dive with Rich Van going in-depth on a single topic on Saturday nights, Wrestling Night in America with Greg Parks discussing the biggest events in professional wrestling coming up and in its past, along with the post-pay-per-view call-in shows, including following big pay-per-views like the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and all of them in between. And then Monday nights, it's MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans. 7 days a week, a show for you, and they're free. And they're available just by searching PW Torch in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, or just visit the homepage and take a look at all the themes and all the time slots at pwtorchlivecast.com. If you enjoy our approach to covering professional wrestling here on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, I invite you to become a PW Torch VIP member and experience all our coverage throughout the week. I'm part of about 12 other podcasts per week that are VIP exclusive, including the post-pay-per-view roundtables, and I host shows with Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin, and I do the every single day solo Wade Keller Hotline, plus other VIP podcast formats. Also, the PW Torch livecasts are ad-free and plug-free for VIP members, along with VIP after-shows that are exclusively for our members. But it's not all about podcasts that come out during the week. It's also about the archives that you gain access to, dating back to retro radio shows in the early 1990s. In fact, a new retro radio show from the 1990s is dropped every Thursday night for VIP members. Sometimes I'm a guest on that show, so you can hear what I was saying about things decades ago going on in the world of professional wrestling. Also, you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and you get access to our archives, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter with fascinating insider perspective and hard-hitting editorials, along with long-form insider interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest names, over 1,500 back issues dating back to the late 1980s, all available as soon as you go VIP. There's so much more that comes with the membership. Go check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. Rates as low as $8.25 per month on average. That's pwtorch.com/govip.